Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Zan Ray and Tom Collins, and we are not talking about the cocktail. We are pulling up a recipe for success for people in the beauty industry. Wow, did they take a hit during the pandemic? You know, everybody turned ugly. You know, but salons really took a hit. And people in the beauty industry, they make good money. You know, as a billion-dollar industry, multi-billion-dollar industry, because people always want to get their hair done. They want to get their eyelashes done. They want a good esthetician. But what about the business owners? What about the brick and mortar? Because it was so strict that, you know, people couldn't even come to your house to do what needs to be done. So how are these individuals revamping, bringing that industry back full throttle? How are they? With the help of these two. They are masterminds. They have done this for eons, and they're going to give us some suggestions on what to do if you're trying to reinvent yourself and sustain your business, or if you're a brand new flower in the field and you're ready to blossom. Thank you so much, Tom and Zan, for being here with me. Welcome on the Edge.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited, April. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You guys are movers and shakers. Plus, you're the cutest doggone couple. You're starting to look alike. That's what me and Mr. Magnificent, we're starting to look like brother and sister, but you grow into each other.
Yes.
You really do.
So,
Zan, tell us a little bit about you, and then Tom, I want to hear about how you got involved in this.
Okay.
Well, as a pioneer, one of the pioneers in the beauty industry, I started out when I was 12 years old working at a beauty shop. And that started me on the course for being in this amazing beauty business industry. I graduated from hair school when I was 17, and I got a job and started working, and had some training underneath my belt because I had worked for two women when I was like 12 and 13 and 14, and had learned some of the tricks already before I even went to hair school. Mm. I could have gotten my license by what they taught me if I could have, but I had to have hours of school. So, and yeah, from there I worked hard and learned the value of intense customer service, how to really serve and take care of our clients, our guests, we like to call them, and have moved forward in my career. So I've been a hairdresser over 40 years.
Okay, what is the correct term? Stylist, hairstylist, hairdresser, beautician, barber. What is the correct, politically correct term? Because, you know, we change every 5 years.
We do. I like to use hairdresser because that encompasses it all. That way, I'm not saying I'm a stylist, because we know also that there are stylists in clothes. I'm saying that I am a hairdresser and that I take care of everything within my license that I can. So it's whether it's nails, makeup, hair, everything. So I'm a hairdresser.
I was wondering, you know, are you a hairdresser for the eyebrows and up under the lips and the little whiskily chin hairs here too?
Yes, I am licensed for all of it.
Okay. Now, in your full service, you have the hair side of it. Do you also work with manicurists and estheticians?
Yes, we work with barbers, massage therapists, nail techs, estheticians. We work with anyone under the umbrella of the beauty industry.
And yes, And yes, we also include the business owners, which are the salon owners, the spa owners, the barbershop owners that have people that work under them or work for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, Tom, the business aspect of it and how that's constructed now. I'm going to throw out a few questions and you can weave in and out of it. You know, a lot of salons here deal with booth rent. And normally, the owner of the building, the owner of the business has a beauty license. They understand. They've been on the ground floor on that rubber mat 10, 12 hours, okay? But then there's others that do commission where you get a percentage of the work that you do. Can you tell us a little bit about the difference? Well, first give us your experience and then tell us the difference and what the trends are. Are people more doing a booth rent or are they doing more of a commission type base?
Okay, well, I started out in the beauty industry in my daddy's barbershop, sweeping floors and shining shoes at the age of six.
So me and my husband was talking about that the other day, about a good shoe shine. That was an honorable profession, I'm telling you, and they would make good money. You talk to somebody and get that spit shine on them, those Stacy Adams, you walk away with a 20.
That's right. And I didn't necessarily at that time because haircuts were a dollar for a haircut. But my shoe shines were 25% of that. I was getting a quarter of shine. So I was making 20. So I was raised in a barbershop environment, in a kind of a beauty salon type environment. My dad had commissioned people that worked for him. He had hourly people as well. And what I saw was it was a struggle.
Mm.
Mainly because they did not seek outside business advice. They tried to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They didn't continually educate themselves about new styles, going in and seeing and getting taught how to do the new styles to stay up with the trends. Consequently, that business failed. But it didn't fail until after I had already finished college. And I did not become a hairdresser. I did not become a barber. I became an engineer. So I designed and found out about using systems that could be applied in the beauty industry, in the business itself, to make it not only profitable, but also enjoyable and less stress and less struggle. So I saw my parents struggle to survive. It was not abundance. And I decided this is not the life for me.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So what kind of ingenuity did you apply?
I applied mechanical engineering, which is dealing with systems and how the components of the system function to give you an end result.
Wow. So scheduling, because, you know, you have the receptionist, bless her heart. And then you have the person that books themselves. Girl, and I tell you, I love her with all my heart, but my braider, because they think of them as kind of the creative.
Yes.
They're there to, you know, when you're working with someone's hair, you're creating a masterpiece.
Yes.
I went back and I was looking at some of Bridgington and how they just sculptured the hair.
Yes.
And the coloring of the hair.
Yes.
But also good hair care, because again, women are losing hair.
Yes.
They're going bald just like men.
Yes.
The chemicals that are being used, the coloring. I mean, I never seen so many people want to be gray.
Yes.
Gray and purple and pink and stripping of the natural fibers of the hair. There's a lot into the hair care and taking care of it. Do you teach, I know you teach from cradle to grave, but do you also go into different products and, you know, different types of hair? Because you've got the kinky hair, you've got straight hair, you've got curly hair, all those type of hair cares, Zan.
Well, we recommend products that our client might want to use. But we, because I've not been behind the chair in about the last 3 years. And so we really coach on retail and products that they should offer their clients and how to do that. We also teach them about the business side. And because I am a hairdresser, I do speak the same language. So if they're talking about a light ash blonde, and that being a level 9, I know what they're talking about. And so those are some of the areas that we work on to help them to understand that there are a multitude of products out there and which one are safer for them.
Right, safer for them and the caliber of their client. I'm going to come back to you and talk to you a little bit about customer service in just a second. But Tom, let's talk some business.
Okay, let's talk some business. So what we find is, I'm going to give you kind of an overview. What we find in dealing with almost every salon is that there's a lack of systems all the way from booking the client all the way through getting payment for the services that are performed. And there are steps that every salon must go through, whether they have it written down in a system form so that it can be duplicated or not. The other part of that is the hairdresser specifically is not trained, as they are licensed, as they begin their career, to be a business person, to know how to look at the business numbers, the statistics that are coming in from their services, how many clients they've got, how many new clients they've got, how many clients are booked on a regular basis. And most importantly, are they making a profit?
Well, and they should. I'm telling you, my braider and my hairstylist, they would go to make change. They have a wad. I'm like, wow. But what are they doing with that money?
Right.
That is what, you know, okay, let's talk about liability. Brains, you're not going to be able to do this. You know, Zane, she's a trailblazer. She said 3 years ago, she just left from behind the chair. Your wrists, you burn yourself. The varicose veins. You don't purchase medical insurance. Come on. You never give yourself time for a real vacation.
Yes.
The insurance, liability, you know, Grandma Betty's hair just might fall out from that blue hair coloring. Yes. No fault of your own, but you are liable because you were the technician that applied that. Insurance as far as long-term, how are you going to retire? Yeah, you're making a, you know, you're making a grip of money. You're making $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, maybe $2,000-$3,000 a week and have nothing to show for it. And paying your taxes. Tell you, I should be sitting next to Uncle Sam. You make all this money and you figure, oh, it's under the table and nobody really knows. Well, I learned that the utility company can tell pretty much the volume of your business by how much water you use and how much electricity you use in that type of business. Talk to me, Tom.
That is exactly correct. And keeping track of your taxes is extremely important. What we coach our clients on is every week you put back a certain amount of money for taxes into an escrow account, whether it's a savings account or whatever, and then know what your quarterly tax payments are going to be and get on a quarterly pay system so that Uncle Sam doesn't put his magnifying glass out and start looking for you. And they will. As far as you mentioned under the table money, Uncle Sam knows about that too. And if you're ever tagged for that, it could be expensive.
And it can also be a liability to the shop owner because they're going to question them, you know, what kind of flim-flam operation are you running here? Yeah. You have a responsibility to report to us how many people you have. You may not know exactly, and you do pretty much know exactly what your clients are based upon what the services are that they provide and how much money they make. So you can run brains, but you sure can't hide. Talk to us about having insurance and being covered for liability, Tom.
Well, liability insurance is important, particularly if you are an independent booth renter or a suite renter, because you are running a business essentially within another business. You're paying for space, so you've got your own business. So if somebody trips over a cord that you've inadvertently left on the floor, or hair that's left on the floor, it hasn't been swept up, and they slip and they fall, you're liable for that. So you need liability insurance for your particular business. In the larger aspect, if there is a liability coverage for the entire building, if they have individual suite owners within a building, that owner of that space, that lease space, has got to have liability as well. Okay. So let's advance to something else besides the liability insurance and talk about medical insurance.
That's right.
Medical insurance for an individual is extremely expensive.
That's right.
Extremely. However, when you need it, you need it.
And what you can do too is, if you are a shop owner, you know, be one on the cutting edge and look and see how you can get a co-op. Look, yes, how you can pull all of your stylists together. I mean, I'm sure they have kids. They've got families. You can go out here to the independent marketplace and find insurance. Wouldn't that be amazing to, you know, be able to work somewhere that really took care of you from cradle to grave? Let's talk about customer service, Ann, because a hairstylist is also a psychologist.
Yes.
You sit in that chair and you pour out everything that he has done with her, or your, you know, your deepest, darkest fears. You're sitting there, and then everybody in the salon overhears and they're chiming in. I mean, it's a whole experience when you go to the hair salon. Tell us about, and there's got to be some integrity, because again, much like a therapist, you got to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You can't talk about what Karen said in the chair when, you know, about her other girlfriend that was there. You will lose credibility.
Yes.
You might get your face slapped, and
yes,
you are going to lose, you're going to lose some customers. Tell us about integrity and customer service when you are behind that chair.
Well, you know, that's a really great subject, April. Thank you so much for that. The thing that I learned the most when I first started out, and that was in the beauty shop days, right? It was back in the old days, shall we say. And that's where we catered more to our clients than ever. We learned to really serve them, take care of them. And we did do a certain amount of gossiping, but not as much as one would think. And of course, it was like group therapy going to the hair salon. Because everybody was helping everybody because they were listening.
Exactly. But Tom, you laughed. And let me tell you, at the barbershop, that was me and my father's bonding. I would get dressed up. I'd have on those white lace socks, and my lace be about that thick long, and black patent leather shoes. And I would go and I would sit in the barbershop, and there was a smell in there of just a sexy man.
Yeah.
And yes, it was. And they would sit there and they would talk, and you know, men being there jaw jacking too.
Yes.
You know, they really do. And we would be in this environment, and I would sit there at the edge of my chair, and I'd watch her, and she'd have that razor, and she'd have it on the razor strap and put the lather on his face, and that blade would just go down there. Oh my God, he was smoother than butter when he got out of that chair. And then they slap you with that aftershave, Old Spice,
yes,
or whatever it was. And he grabbed my hand, and I tell you, I knew I was with a man. So when I was a young girl, I had an expectation of what that was. He would get his hair cut, he would get shaved, and then he'd go right over there and get his shoes shined. And I tell you, that's exactly what I was looking for when I got a finely tuned, tailored man. So don't be laughing about what we'd be cackling and hen talking about in the barbershop. You men have some deep conversations, but it's more... You know, I find it's more business. It's more political.
Yes.
It's more structured, where we're like, you know, whining and crying. It's just the difference in the gender.
Yes.
Now, you know, it's gotten kind of racy. I went into the barbershop not too long ago, and do you know that they had pornography on the TV in there? And I was just, you know, I couldn't say anything. All I could do was leave. But that's impressionable, and that's young minds. And it's really, really disrespectful.
It is.
To the other clientels.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about pricing. Wow. Okay, so,
yes, we do want to talk about pricing. And we want to talk about, if you will allow this,
sure.
We want to talk about COVID and what COVID did to all of us. And I'm talking about how we couldn't hug and we couldn't do hair. We couldn't do anything. We were like, we were holed up in our homes. And when we got to move out of that and open up our salons and how we had the opportunity to do everything that we had wanted to do and had not done, we had the opportunity to not be afraid. And so this is going to bring me to raising prices.
Mm-hmm.
When our clients opened back up and they pivoted, we encouraged them to increase their prices because we knew that they had not ever really thought about it in the way that they were going to be thinking about it now after COVID. So, Tom, do you want to talk a little bit about price increasing and what we did?
Because many of our clients and many of the salons, many of the independents, you know, were just kind of maybe breaking even. Most of them didn't even know because they weren't even tracking their numbers. They were just...
No, and they wasn't paying their taxes. Because they thought it was under the table and nobody would know.
Well, some of them were.
Yeah, some of them.
All right. Okay. I'm not going to lump everybody into that.
You're right. Pile,
okay. Because there were some that continued to pay their taxes and it was a struggle. It was really a struggle. The big thing was they were so consumed by the events of the day, the COVID, talking about that and all that, they didn't track their numbers. So they didn't know if they were making a profit, if they didn't know if they were breaking even, and they were hoping they weren't losing money, but they knew they were. Because number one, the number of clients coming in was less. Number two, they were charging the same prices, but because they had fewer clients, they were making less money. The cost of utilities continued to rise. The cost of food for their family continued to rise.
And products,
that's correct. And so they didn't take all that into account. And then they had the fear, if I go up on my prices just to break even, just to live, then I'm going to lose all my clients. Now, that's a pretty drastic statement. When our clients go up on their prices, historically, they lose less than 10% of their existing clientele, and that's made up within a 30-day period.
Yes.
But it's all about the service that you receive. If I receive good service and I have a relationship with you,
yes,
I don't have a problem with tipping you and paying you more.
Yes.
But a lot of people lost their jobs and they consider going to the hair salon, going to the barbershop, getting their, you know, their waxings and all that. They considered that was a luxury. That was an expendable luxury.
Yes.
But then you looked at some of these television commentators that hadn't had haircuts in a month or 2 months or 3 months. They didn't know how to do it themselves. And it just turned out to be a mess. So I understand with the rising cost of everything, they should be paid. And you're going to someone to make you beautiful. You're going to someone to, you know, again, it is a luxury.
Yes.
It's a first world problem, but it's something that I need. I love to sit there and get pampered and somebody, you know, file my toenails or trim my edges, whatever the situation is. It is definitely an industry that needs to be compensated for the work that you do. It's a skill. It's an art.
The other thing to look at here is we counsel, we coach our coachees to change that word instead of being a luxury. Yes, it is a luxury in terms of value that the customer receives, but the customer is also investing in themselves.
That's absolutely. Absolutely. Because image is everything, brains, and you don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
That's exactly right. And so we coached them to paint the salon. We coached them to add value. Whatever they were going to do, they were going to exceed the guest's experience, whether it was chocolates or whether it was new robes or whether it was new capes, paint the walls, whatever it was, we really coached them to keep their business and their company spick and span, spotless, and to really renew it and refresh it all the time and think about the guest and what they need and not so much of what talking crap behind the chair, right? We really, really discourage hairdressers from doing that. It's about the guest and the guest's experience.
So when the guest walks through the front door of the salon, whether it's a independent or whether it is a multi staff salon, they walk through like a $10 bill and they walk out like a $1 million bill.
It's all about the experience. And Brains, I tell you all the time, you can't put a price on a valuable experience.
Yeah.
When you turn that person around and you take that cape off of them and you reveal that new color and that short cut, it is amazing. And in the Black community, well, you know, I shouldn't say Black, all hair, because I know everybody now is getting weaves and getting different types of hair extensions. So, but I know in my community, we pay, telling you, for a few tracks of some nice little Indian girls' long hair. It can be $400-$500 just for the hair.
Yes.
Not counting what the technician has to do, yes, or the hairdresser has to do to put that in your head and then style your hair.
Yes.
You can be sitting in that chair for 3 hours, 4 hours, but what is revealed is absolutely transformational. Yes. And it makes you feel a certain kind of way.
It does. It does. And, you know, we were talking earlier about thinning hair and how it is. COVID also has interrupted our hair growth. Whether you had COVID or not, the stress of everything that we were doing is really showing up in the hair. And even 2 years later, we're seeing even more hair loss than we've ever seen before. We have clients, our coaches, who specialize in thinning hair. We have coaches who specialize in extensions, and they are increasing their revenue. We have one who has increased her revenue over this past year, 220%.
Bravo.
That's the kind of coaching that we do to show them their numbers and how to handle their business. And it's because of this hair loss, there is so much more of a need to know how to do extensions, to know about a few rows or a wet or a topper, all of these things. It is so important.
Right. My girlfriend has really revamped her business to where she is working with cancer patients.
Yes.
And she is making specialized wigs because there was things I didn't know. I knew you lost the hair, but I didn't realize how tender the scalp is.
Yes.
You know, after you've had chemotherapy, after you've had a completely bald scalp, alopecia is, you know, coming out, hair is coming out. So she has really worked with insurance companies, medical insurance companies, to be able to get subsidized for the treatment that she offers. That was a whole new lane. I thought that was really incredible, really innovative. I want to talk to you about another innovation, Tom. Mobile services. Mobile services are really coming full throttle now. You've got senior citizens that can't get out. They still want to be pretty. You've got, you know, senior citizen facilities that you could go in and start a business doing that. Tell us a little bit about that. Are you seeing that as a trend in the industry?
Actually, the clients that we work with are either independent hairdressers or they are working in a salon or a salon owner. We are aware of the mobile services that are available. And what we have seen is that a person will outfit a trailer. is what they'll do.
Like a mobile home.
Like a mobile home or a trailer that they can pull behind their truck.
An RV.
And then pull it up, plug all the utilities into it, and then have the people come from a facility, either an office or something like that. They can do that. And the other part of that is they can go in to the long-term care homes and do that, offer a service. We haven't seen that very much. We did see that some during the shutdown. We haven't seen it since so much.
But you know, I think it, as we talk about trends, I think that our industry is changing in a very rapid way. And I do believe that we are going to see more mobile. I think coming forward in our future, we're going to see more mobile. I think that more hairdressers are going to realize that they can go to their clients without having to do it in their house, because that is one of the worst things, to schlep your stuff, your bags with you, and then shampoo someone's hair in the kitchen sink. I know they've got these little blow up neck shampoo things, but
oh my God,
it's so uncomfortable though.
I want to talk to you a little bit about licensing.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, just like we talked about, you know, doing under the table, getting paid.
Yes.
I want to talk about people that are doing hair that don't have a license.
Right.
There is such a huge liability.
Yes.
And then after you talk about that, I want to talk about what another one, my friend, my braider, did. She fought the California legislator to be able to allow braiders to braid natural hair without a license because there was no chemical. My bone of contention with that is that you are still pulling on nerve follicles.
Yes, you are.
You are still dealing with a scalp that can be irritated by the synthetic hair.
Yes.
By the products that you use, by not maintaining your scalp, because braids, just because you have braids, that don't mean you don't wash them. Good Lord.
Exactly.
You know, so those type of things that are done under the table. Talk to us a little bit about licensing, Zane.
Well, you know, so many of the states are deregulating. I know for us here in Texas, we used to have 1,500 hours to be able to get our license. Now they've taken it down to 1,000. And there are, and in California as well, they have changed up their licensing, and other states too. I know that there are wannabe hairdressers who have the knack, but for whatever reason, they don't go to school and they are servicing their clients. I mean, I've seen it on our neighborhood app of them talking about it. And whereas it's hard for me, because I worked hard to get my license and to maintain them. I renew my license every 2 years. I have to take sanitation as a part of renewing my license, no matter what. And these people aren't, and we don't know what they're doing. We don't know yet what the effects of what they're doing, not knowing about what the hair and the scalp is, other than they just know how to like braid it, which is amazing. But there's more to this than just that. Because like you said, you can get damaged easily if you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So here's the other aspect of that as well. You get what you pay for. So if you go to an unlicensed braider or an unlicensed hair dresser, it may be less expensive, but you may not get a really good product because they haven't had the training.
And I mean, you know, you've got, they have no stake in the game, no liability. Oh, I'm sorry. Anything could possibly happen. And as we close, I want to talk about school. I want to talk a little bit, Tom, with you about really the services four or five key elements that you provide in your training, in your service, to salon owners, to independent stylists and consultants in this field?
Okay. The first thing we start out with every one of our coaches is going and asking them what their business why is. Why are they in business? The reason we do that is because when things get tough, the tough have to get going again. And where are you going to get that? You're going to dig deep. Why in the world am I here today? So that's number one. You got to know what your why is. Number two, you have got to have a goal of where you want to be with your business, both financially, emotionally, how many clients you want, how much time you want to spend. Those are all target goals. If you're not reaching those, once you've identified those, then there's got to be some limiting beliefs associated with that. So that's number two. We dig into the limiting beliefs. We not only acknowledge them, we also replace them with positive beliefs moving forward.
Empowering positive beliefs. Empowering,
yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the third part of that is we look at how are you tracking your numbers? How are you tracking your statistics so that you know whether you are making a profit or you are at a loss or you're breaking even? Mm-hmm. And that will help you set what your future targets are going to be so that you know on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And we have tracking sheets, which allows them to view that and become their own accountability partner.
Mm, that's beautiful. And if I might add a fourth, transitioning. Again, like I said, you are not able to stand, maybe you are, I don't know, stand behind that chair for 25, 30 years. Are you setting up a succession plan? Are you looking to maybe become a shop owner of your own one day? Are you looking to retire? You know, long-term care, benefits, savings, all of those things. Zan.
Thank you.
Which a pretty name. Zan and Tom cover with you. They discuss this with you. Again, they go over why. They go over your goals. What are your long-term goals? Why are you doing this? You know, does it really bring you joy? Sometimes people get, well, I'm just doing it because I've been doing it. I don't know nothing else to do.
Yes.
Take it to the next level. Change your game. Maybe you want to be a product developer. Maybe you want to be, again, like I said, a shop owner. Maybe you want to go from hair to being an esthetician or going to be a barber. All these things are things to consider because this is a huge, huge industry. Thank you too so much. You guys are really, really on the cutting edge of beauty. And I appreciate that. All of my hairdresser friends are going to love this show. They're going to be calling you, wondering where your next seminar is, because that's very important. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, please.
Okay. And we have a gift for them.
Ooh.
Okay, babe.
Is it a swag bag?
It's a digital swag bag.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. So what we have here is a text code with a text number. So if they text the word ebook, E-B-O-O-K, to the following number, 844-235-6149.
Okay.
They will get a PDF of our book, Scared to Raise Your Prices.
Wow. I love it. All right. And then do you have a website as well?
We do. We have a website of Global Beauty Business Academy.com.
Okay, that's Global Beauty Business Academy.
Yes.
I'm going to put that telephone number as well as your website at the back of this interview so that people will have that ongoing. Continue to do what you do. You are absolutely radiant. You're living good. You're looking good. Yeah, wait, hold on. Now, let me see, because that's with the background. There you go. Hold it right there. Wait, right there. Let's get a good screenshot. Okay, scared to raise your prices. Don't be scared to raise your prices, brains. All right, perfect. Because money is energy, I tell you. It's a well-oiled machine, especially down there in Texas. You got to get your hands dirty, you know? You got to put it in more than color and perm. You got to really understand the nuts and bolts of your industry if you are going to thrive, if you are going to succeed. You got to make money because you're not in it, you know, for shit and giggles. You really want to make an impact. Plus, you want to show your craft, your artistry, and you want to make somebody feel like they've never felt before. And that's
amen.
That's what you two have done for me. So thank you so much. Brains, go in there and get your beauty on, okay? They have given you a free gift. I want you to text ebook to phone number 844-235-6149. And also go in and get a copy of the book. Okay, the ebook. I know that's driving me crazy.
It's okay.
There you go. That's all right. I'm gonna get a copy of it. Is it on Amazon?
It is.
Okay, well then that's not a problem. We will definitely
and all proceeds go to help another hairdresser through the Worth Up Foundation.
Wow. See, that's what I'm saying. They're not just doing it. They're also very philanthropic. Yeah. Thank you so much. You are definitely a dynamic duo. You're the best.
Thank you so much, April, for having us. Thank you.
Be good to yourself, brains. Go get a haircut and a shave.